Well, it's an honor. It's a privilege to be here with you today. And as Pastor mentioned, there's several of you that have already been to Panama. And could I see the hands of those that have been to Panama and out there to the San Blas Islands with us to minister to the Kuna Indians? Everybody stand up. Give these guys a hand. And now that you've given them a hand, I want you guys to stick your hands up in the air. All those that you've already been down there, stick your hands up in the air. No kidding. This is part of the deal. Now look, that lady right there, Carol, has all of her fingers. I guarantee you she's got all of her toes. She went down there in health and she came back in health. And that's the same way with those of you that are contemplating or thinking about or praying about going down and helping us minister God's life and the Word of God to the Kuna Indians. I've got some pictures here. Some of them are old. Some of them are new. But none of them have captions. So just use your imagination. Pass them around. And we have a ministry promo or DVD that some guys graciously put together and then re-edited for me. And and I'd like for you to see it right now, because it will tell you what we do and why we do it. It's the vision of Floating Bible Schools International. The name of the corporation, or the 501c3 that God told us to incorporate. Could you please run that? And this is the word that God puts in us continually. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praises in the islands. Not the praises of a gringo that goes down there. You should have sound. That's Nalanega Island, our home base, our mission base. This is what it looks like going around the island. You see that? Does that look like National Geographic? Could be Africa, could be anywhere. This is pulling up to our boat dock. Right behind us now, we did three landfills. And we've got a church sitting right on that property right now. Excuse me, a church hut. That's our fancy sign.
My name's Alan Sappington, and this is my wife, Kathy. We're missionaries to the Kuna Indians off the Caribbean coast of Panama, Central America. The Spirit of God started this work in 1990. And I would like for you to see what he's accomplished since then.
In reality, our church is a training base for Kunas that come from different islands. We are on the western end of the island chain right here. And
let me just tell you, but I'm going to read the vision to you. Take God's saving, healing message to the Kuna Indians. You know, when I wrote this down, for the first time in an old day timer, when I'd been sick with rubella for 3 days. I was in the country of Panama. I was already a missionary. I was so sick, I had to lay in a bathtub and they had to pour cold water on me because of the high temperature. But I came out of it just long enough, and God spoke to me and said, get up and go in there and write this down. So just, you know, semi-conscious, I went in. And I sat down in a chair and I wrote these words down as I heard him speak them. So this is the reason we have this vision. Not because I'm a smart man. You know, I talk in Okie like most of you. So I don't claim any greatness other than it's great to be hooked up with Jesus. Now take Jesus' saving, healing message to the Kuna Indians. Raise up churches and Bible schools on the San Blas Islands. Train the Kuna people. That's the people that live on the San Blas Islands, the Kuna Indians. Train the Kuna people in God's Word and in God's Spirit by demonstrating how to flow in the Spirit. And that's what praise and worship does for a congregation. I'm going to stop for a second. Praise and worship is designed to take you into the Spirit so that and prepare you for the Word of God that's going to come forth from the pastor. Praise and worship, if you will let go of your inhibitions, if you'll let go of what other people think and just stick your hands up in the air and look ridiculous to the world outside these doors, God at some times will, His Spirit will fall upon you and He'll start to speak to you things that you never thought were possible. He'll start to give you maybe dreams or vision. But that's praise and worship is part of ushering you into the Spirit to receive from the man of God there. So that's what God says for us to teach those people. Then he goes on to say, show the Kuna people how to release God's power through prayer and God's word. Isn't that what Pastor did this morning? He said, I want you to pray. So he said, teach the people about prayer and praying for one another. Didn't he do that? And then he asked us to pray for him. Take the message where others won't go. Now then, for the last 20 years, we have been the only missionaries that we know of personally. There could be some more way down the island chains closer to Colombia that have lived there, but we are the only ones that we know that have endeavored to live among the Kunas and live in huts just like they live in huts. And that doesn't mean anything. That's not a big deal to us. We're getting ready to hopefully build a new building this year, start on a two-story concrete structure that'll have sticks on the outside and it'll look like the other huts from the outside. But Kathy, my wife's Kathy's first reaction after living in a hut for at least 10 years or more, she goes, oh, Alan, I don't want to give up my sand floors for concrete, you know, and maybe it's a little bit of tile on it. You know, it's not a sacrifice, because when God puts it in you and He calls you to a place, He puts in you a love for the people and that place, and it becomes your home. We were in Panama for 10 months this last year, and when we got back here, it was like being on another planet. It wasn't even just like. I grew up in Tulsa, and so it was like being on a whole nother planet. It wasn't even like being in the town of Tulsa. So we take the message where others won't go. We have about eight or nine churches now. We have a Bible school that's going. Our churches are on, there is six on little bitty islands that there's more population right around German Corner than there are on most of those islands. We have them all the way from 550 people on an island to 175. But somebody's got to take Jesus to those people and to those children. We have sometimes 96 kids in children's church on Sunday morning, and then 86 on another island that has 375 people. So that's the time that you get them, when they're young. So it's like, did you hear Pastor Don? Part of his testimony was talking about when he was a young boy and about how, you know, if you just read between the lines, that's where he received Jesus. And that might have been where he received the call to be a pastor at that time in his life. It says, take the message where others won't go. We started the first church that was similar to this in the San Blas Islands in 1990. It says, we've started churches out in the middle of the boonies that it takes 4.5 hours. Yeah, 1 hour and 30 minutes by boat, another 2.5 hours to the first village, and another 45 minutes to the second village. And that's if the swamp that you have to wade through isn't up this high, it's only down to about this high. And so God is that's just where God sent us, and we love it. So take the message where so that the Spirit of God can flow and the people can grow. If in a church, that's what's supposed to be happening. Any place on the planet that you have a church that represents or preaches the word of God and lifts up the name of Jesus, the people are supposed to grow. And if there's not contention, strife, and other things, and division and disunity, too much backbiting, backstabbing, you know, the Spirit of God can flow and the people will grow. And then it says, start floating Bible schools. That was the last thing he said. And that's what we do. We take Bible school training to remote island chains globally, but we started at the San Blas Islands so that what we found is that when you have a group of people in a church and they want to know more about Jesus. If you can put them in some condensed training on one subject so that they get 12, 13, 14 hours on one subject. Pastor Don does it from the pulpit because he teaches series that gives you condensed training or teaching on a certain subject, like the Ephesians. I listened last night to the parts of the 5 hours of teaching that Pastor Don did, and it was called, What, the Love Series? And it was done in 2009. So I'm teaching some out of the same books that he taught out of when he did the Love Series. And so when you get that condensed teaching and training, you're going to grow faster. And praise God for Pastor Don, a man of God that can teach about a book like you're doing on Ephesians. But anyway, enough of that. I want to get into the message, so I want to pray just one more time. Father God, I just come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we love and the one that we serve. Father God, we have faith in you. According to Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. Have faith in your ability. So, Father God, I ask you today, in the matchless mighty name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit that will come and live inside of us if we simply invite him. And he says that he will never leave nor forsake us once that we've invited him in. That your precious Holy Spirit today will speak into the hearts and the minds and the lives of the people here. That your word will transform those that are here today. And they'll leave this place and they'll leave filled up with your word, your power, and your spirit to go and demonstrate the gospel in wherever they live, wherever they work, and wherever they go. And we thank you for that, Holy Spirit, for speaking to the people. Now then, if you would, turn in your Bible, if you have your Bible with you, to 1 John. That's at the end of the Bible. There's John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Then there's Jude, which is one chapter long, basically, one page, and then Revelation. Now then, and keep your finger there because I'm going to go straight to that because I'm going to go straight to the heart of the message, straight to what I'm trying to convey to you today. So when you leave here, you'll leave with what the world calls tools. It means you'll leave with something that you can use in your everyday life from this point forward for the rest of your life. Every day, as many times a day as you choose to use it. And I just praise God for that opportunity. So I'm going to make a statement. Now, 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3 is the crux. It's the meat. It's the bottom line of everything that I'm up here to try to convey today by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you a question, and this same question is enunciated in those three verses, actually. So I'm going to ask you a question. So we're going to read these scriptures together in just a minute, but I want to ask you a question. I want everybody to look at me, okay? Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Okay, we had an agreement there. Okay, now then, I want you to repeat those same words with me as I say them. Okay, let's go together. Did Jesus Christ, it won't hurt you to talk, you've been doing it ever since you was a baby. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? How simple was that? That was just about 9 or 10 words if you saw them written down on a piece of paper. Okay, that's called the test question. As we read it, if you read it, I've read this in about 15 to 18 different Bible translations just to make sure that I got what the intent of the writer of this book, John. We're talking about John. John wrote this, and I want to. Hopefully, I'll have time to go in and to qualify who was this man, John. But Pastor Don says, I believe this man, John, was Jesus' best friend. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? That's from Pastor Don, being in the ministry 30 years and researching and reading and studying the Bible and ministering the Word of God for 30 years. But John, at this time when he wrote this, he was the oldest disciple alive, and I think the only one. Paul had already been killed, and Paul wrote more books of the Bible than John. But John wrote three books. He wrote the book of John, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That, you know, out of the first four, he wrote the book of John, which was the last book before Acts, when all the miracles start to happen and the people first got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then if you continue to look, you go over to the end of the book and you'll find out that John wrote the book of Revelation. And then you go back one chapter, and then here's where you find the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But let's look at it together. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Here, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, now he switched from living human beings. When he said beloved, that qualified people that had flesh and blood just like you. So he starts out, who's his audience? Beloved, people that are in the church. And so he's talking to people. But then he switches and he says, believe not every spirit. So he's saying, you can be, he's going to, as we go through this thing, you'll understand, I'm believing, that spirit beings are invisible and they talk to you all day long. They try to tempt you as many times as possible in one day. And they're invisible. Sound waves are invisible. Everybody knows that sound waves exist. But the spirits are invisible too. Demon spirits. And they talk to you. And one of the things that proves there's invisible audio video out there is these things that you carry with you all the time. And your brain was built by God to be a receiver and a sender of information. So you're receiving not only on a daily basis, many, many, many times a day, you're receiving not only from your five physical senses, your touch, your taste, your smell, your hearing, and what else I live out there? Touch, whatever. You're receiving from the moment you're born from the invisible realm, and you're receiving from your five senses. But you're also receiving all day long, most of the time or many times during every day of your life, from the invisible spirit realm, whether it be God or an invisible demonic spirit that tries to tempt you. There, his sole purpose is to steal. The devil's sole purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. If some beautiful woman walks by you, I'm just going to give you an example. How could that work? How do your five senses affect you? And would be in the visible realm. Some beautiful woman walks by, a young guy, and you know, hopefully he's still married. He's still not married, but you know, the temptation comes to everybody. But Jesus, the only one that overcame all the temptations. Somebody walks by, this beautiful woman, you know, got her best clothes on, got a ton of perfume on. And you know, sometimes it could cross a guy's eyes. He just goes, ah! You know, and he's going like this without going like that. Maybe he's got composure and control. But those five physical senses has already pulled him. And then in a few seconds behind that, probably there'll be thoughts entering his mind from this invisible spirit realm, from demon spirits, to try to get him to think about things that he shouldn't do with this other human being. Has anybody ever experienced anything like this? Or am I talking to, you know? Okay. The only guy that couldn't hear this is the guy that Don's going, that couldn't identify with it right now, is a guy that's going, Don's going down to preach his funeral. If you're still alive and breathing, you can identify. Or for women, you know, it might be a big hunk, you know, whatever your idea of a hunk is, you know. But anyway, let's get on with this. Okay, first, we're going back to 1 John 4. And it said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Okay, he's talking about those invisible demonic spirits at this point. "But try the spirits." In other translations, in Amplified, in many translations, it says test. So I call this the test question. This is the test question that qualifies, that gets to the bottom line, that lets you know emphatically whether that invisible being that just gave you a thought, probably it came in a still small voice or a thought, to know if it's really the Spirit of God or if it's an evil spirit trying to trip you up, take you away from the Word of God and the things of God, what you know, what you've heard preached from this pulpit for however long you've been here. And today, if this is your first time here, at the end of the service, we want to give you an invitation to come up here to receive more of the Spirit of God. Whether it's your first time, you never received Him, whether it's your 100th time and you backslid, or whether you've been saved, asked Jesus into your heart, or whether you've never been saved or filled with the Holy Spirit. And those are the qualifiers. I just told you the qualifiers to get to the place that we're reading about right here. The qualifiers is, number one, for you to receive Jesus. Number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And since everybody's different, if you check your fingerprints and thumbprints next to Pastor Don's or this lady or this little girl, you're all different. People receive the Holy Spirit a different way sometimes. I heard of a guy that's a good friend of mine. He was a Kuna apostle and had a truck. He said, "I was driving down the road one day, and I'd heard about this Holy Spirit, and I was a smoker, chain smoker, and I was not too good of a person, but all of a sudden, I was just praying in tongues. It just hit him, bam, you know, without him. I mean, he'd been in church and he heard about it, but all of a sudden, where? Probably out going down through the middle of Panama on a dirt and a gravel and a dusty road, the Holy Spirit just got him. And he started, the evidence was his tongues coming out of his mouth. So my point is, not a difficult point, it's just that some churches get in locked into, well, you got to do it this way to get these results. And I'm telling you, since you all came from different places, you don't have the same mommy and daddy, and you probably, some of you were born in other places on the planet. But so the only thing is God is interested in is you getting it and then starting to use it to glorify Him. Okay? We're going to go back to 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see, and test the spirits to see if they are from God." And then I'm going to jump down to verse 2. "Here is how you know. Hereby know you the Spirit of God." Okay, this is how you're going to know. Once you ask the question that a long time ago that we started with, a long time ago, being 5 or 10 minutes, and when I said, "Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" and you all repeated it back to me. This is how you know, once you ask that invisible spirit being, and that's what we're talking about, the invisible spirit beings trying to give you a thought or a still small voice. It says, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God." This is how you know. Every spirit, where you're talking about these invisible spirit beings right now, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Okay, that's how you know. Is that simple or what? That's two sentences. The first sentence is, you know, he tells you there's going to be enemy spirits and they're going to try to talk to you to give you information to lead you off the path of God's path, lead you away from God. And he said, here's how you know. You do two things. The first two things is you ask him, did Jesus, when you hear these thoughts in your mind, you say back to the thought, okay, and here's I'm going to give you the rationale as I give you in an example. That spirit being that spoke to you in a thought or whatever form it came in, if it had the power and ability to speak to you the first time, it will have the power and ability to speak to you the second time. And usually it won't speak. It will keep its mouth shut, okay, because it will not answer you back once you've asked it, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh, to try to check out where that information that came into your mind came from. If you ask it, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh, to test that information, you'll never hear a voice. Because let me ask you a question. When you were in school, or if you're still in school, and there was a bully on the playground, and he was just whipping you every day of your life, you know, on recess or something like that. But one day, you finally got bigger. You know, you grew and you got bigger. And your uncle or somebody like Pastor Don used to be, taught you a few karate kicks and a few things. And the bully comes up, and this day, just like he came, he was going to come up every day and he'd just whip you real good. But you learned something new and you got a little bit bigger. And so he comes up this day and he's going to take you out. He's going to bloody your nose again. And he's been working on trying to get a couple of teeth out. And he's thinking, maybe today. But he starts at you. You're armed now. And you know that if you ask this demonic spirit, I'm switching it back into the message, into the spirit realm. A bully, once you whip him, that day you whip him, ordinarily he would never admit to his classmates or the people around him, yeah, Johnny stood up today and kicked my fanny. So the devil, these demon spirits, when you ask them, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh, they have the power to speak to you, but they will not admit that Jesus did come in the flesh for a similar reason, a reason that you can understand, because I gave you a living example. He's not going to admit that Jesus came on down to my territory after he left the cross, after he went into the underworld, and for 3 days and three nights, he cleaned up the place. He cleaned the house. And when he came up out of there, he came up with the keys to the key of death, hell, and the grave. He won't admit it. I use this all the time. Now, Dad, you know, I've jumped all over every place. I probably even got Pastor Don confused after 30 years in the ministry. But anyway, the bottom line is there's two sentences there that will help you for the rest of your life if you ask. Here's what we are. You're the one that has to ask. Now then, I don't know how old you are, brother, or this lady, or some of these people in here, but all of your life until today, or especially all of your life until the time you became a spirit-filled Christian, or just became a Christian, the enemy was going like this on your head every day, sometimes 18, 20 hours a day. And when you wasn't sleeping, he was probably still giving you dreams and stuff that wasn't too cool sometimes. But the majority of the time, he was doing a number on you. I'm just telling you how to check it out. Right here. Is anybody tracking with me? Is anybody understanding this? Okay. Now, this guy, okay, let's go over it again. And I'd like for you, everybody that's got it, to read it out loud with me, because this information right here will help you the rest of your life if you apply it. If you simply ask God, okay? Beloved, believe not every spirit. Read it out loud. But test the spirits to see if they are from God. And then skip down to verse 2. This is how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Then you go down to 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. See, it says right there, he won't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh because he admits his defeat. He won't do that. Is that simple or what? Okay, now then, I learned about this when I was a young, not long after I became a Christian. And I've had to use this ever since then, because one of the reasons is the place that God has sent me, there's no living human being. I can't check out CNN every day. I can't check out the Weather Channel. I can't check out all these other sources of information that you have the ability to check out on a daily basis, even a computer that could and look at Google something to find out about it. No, the place that God sent me, there's only one human or one being. God is a spirit, and he is the only one that knows the answers to the predicaments, the situations, and the things that we get into, and the things that we're faced with. So I have to depend on him. I can't call up Aunt Sally and say, Sally, what would you do when the storm's coming at you from both directions and you got to get in the boat and go over to another island because they're waiting on you? They're probably already having praise and worship. And as soon as you get there, it's time for you to preach. But here's a storm coming at you this way. How do you apply these scriptures that we've talked about here? I'm giving you a practical example right now of how I've had to apply the scripture. That really happened. And what I do is teach Pastor Nico Adames, who's been up here for 4 times, and believe with me that he'll be able to come every year from now on, because at some point in time, God's going to say, Alan, your time's up down there. And I understand that somebody said that a success is not a success unless you have a successor. And God's raising him up to be the successor to come to the United States to help raise support from churches to keep, so that we can continue to start churches and Bible school. One day, I'm going into an example of how I had to use these scriptures I just read to you. 2 sentences, or 3. One day, we had some visitors from the United States, and, you know, they were putting into the ministry pretty heavily, and we had planned to go to another island to a church that we were just trying to start up. So we got the gas in the boat, the boat's sitting at the little dock, Kathy, and so we all go over there. Kathy's in the boat. My visitors from the United States are in the boat. And me and Pastor Nico are still standing on the boat dock. And because I'm going to kick the boat off and he's going to drive it. So we're still standing on the boat dock. And I look about 1 or 2 miles out in the direction that we're going. And there's this humongous storm. And you can tell that there's rain coming out. And you can't see through the rain, so that if there's a real possibility, if he cranks that motor up and we go that way, as rough as those seas can get, and just in a heartbeat, and those little storms can blow up, then there's a possibility that we could not endanger our lives. And then I turn around like this because I'm thinking, what are we going to do now? And I look back this way, and there's a storm coming this way. So we're going to get it either way. The storm's coming from both directions. That's what I see with my eyes. And my senses are telling me, man, there's no way to know what to do except ask God right now. And so since I've been teaching Nico how to hear from the Spirit of God, and he's standing right there, I said, Nico, let's pray and see if we're supposed to go on over to that island, because that's where the biggest storm was that was straight in front of us between us and that island. And I guess it was about a mile away, not too far. And so I said, okay, Nico, let's pray. I said, you ask the Spirit of God if we should go ahead and get in this boat and go over there, knowing that our lives could literally end out in that sea. And I said, that was the only way we're going to figure it out. God was the only one who's going to know. And so I was putting Nico on the spot because he was still pretty young in this. And I knew I was, but I was doing it on purpose to teach him what we're trying to learn today together. And I said, Nico, let's pray and see what God says, whether we're supposed to go. So everybody's in the boat, and the waves are moving around, and it doesn't do too good to be sitting in a boat going like this, upsets people real quick. But I knew that it'd be better for them, their stomach, to be upset than them to die out in the water. So we're pacing back and forth, Nico and I, on this boat dock, and I hear, because I test it. I say, okay, God, here's what I did. I simply respected God because I knew he was the only one with the answer, and I asked him this question. God, should we go over to Soledad Mandinga? Should we go ahead and go? I asked him a question. I respected him. And when you respect him enough to ask him the question, he's going to say, okay, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great mighty things that you know not. I knew the great mighty thing at that moment was, if I go that way, are we going to live or die? That was a pretty great mighty thing at the moment. And he said, call on me and I'll answer you. So I simply called on him. I asked him, God, should we go over there? And I hear this, yes, go. And so, okay, I'm going to test, where did that information come from? I heard it inside as a thought. I said, okay, I'm going to check it out according to the Word of God, this 1 John 4:1-3, and make sure that I heard from the right spirit. I know the information didn't come from my brain because my brain was trying to go tilt because there's a storm and here's a storm and And so I say, Lord, should we go? And go ahead and go over this island. And I hear, yes, go. And then I said, okay, the spirit, the voice that told me to go, I'm asking you a question. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? That's the test question. That's the bottom line. When you walk into something that's perilous, or you have a situation, should I buy this house? Should I go to that college? Should I marry this woman? Should I date that person? You can use it in any area, any time. You just have to be smart enough to remember to ask God. And then when the answer comes back, yes or no, or however he brings the answer back, then you say, okay, the same voice that said yes, now then, I'm asking you this, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And all that was going on in my mind. I wasn't moving my mouth. I didn't speak out loud. I said, the voice that told me to get in the boat and go, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And I heard yes. And then I asked him, well, when he said yes, I asked him, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And he said, he repeated back to me the same words that I asked him. And he said, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So I knew it was the Spirit of God. So I said, I turned to Pastor Nico, and Pastor Nico is kind of looking around like, I said, what'd you hear from God? What'd God say to you? And he kind of went, he didn't want to really answer because he's still young in this thing and he hadn't learned yet how to really tell if it was the Spirit of God. And so I said, after waiting on him and giving him some time and he wouldn't give me an answer, I said, okay, get in the boat, we're going. I heard from God. We started out, we got about half a mile, the storm went, phew, and it just blew over. It blew away. It wasn't in front of us. We had a smooth ride all the way over to that island. That's a practical application. Could I call Don Woods or somebody on 6 o'clock weather and ask them, about that? No. There's only one guy that knew. He's, you know, the Spirit of God. He's alive in me. He's got to be alive in you so that you can draw on this information, this invisible spirit source that knows everything. He created everything, so he knows everything. He didn't get stupid after about 1,000 years or so. Men got stupid and quit listening to him. Men got stupid and started believing, you know, all the great professors. And they, if I can get it on the internet, they got to know more. No, man got stupid and quit listening to God, the Creator, and the only one that knows the answer to every little and big situation that you're going into and going through in this lifetime. Can anybody get in this? What do you think, Pastor Don? Okay, I know that there's a story. John is in the book of John here, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He's answering some false teaching that was called Gnosticism. He is confronting that. He's answering a lot of questions because that was a false teaching that was going around at that time. How old was John by the time that he wrote this? He was somewhere between 70 and 90 years old. It was written somewhere between 90 and 95 A.D. after the death of Jesus. So John, at the youngest, could have been 70, 75. And he's the only one that's alive. He's the one that walked with Jesus. He's the one that lived his life with Jesus. As a matter of fact, John, the guy that wrote this, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, all of the other disciples had ran off. They weren't around. Jesus is some of Jesus' very last words while he was hanging on the cross. He looked down and it said that he saw his mother and he saw John and he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he said to John, "Behold thy mother." And it said from that selfsame hour, John took Jesus' mother to live in his house. Imagine this Don's friend that just died. Do you think that a few hours before his death, if he could comprehend, if he was still intelligible enough to talk, you think he was talking about, "Hey man, wasn't that a great football game last weekend between New York and..." Do you think he was talking about frivolous things that you better watch this new series that's coming up this week. It's going to rock your socks off. No, you're not going to be talking about stupid stuff when you're about to die and leave the earth. You're going to impart into those that you love the most important things that they're going to need for the rest of their life, the rest of the time that they're breathing air here on planet Earth. So that's what John was doing. Where was it at? It was at the end of the book. End of the Bible. It started in Genesis. God started speaking to man. And in Genesis, from the first chapter to the end of the fourth chapter, God spoke to his man, Adam, somewhere between 25 to 27 times. And then even after Adam sinned, everybody say, "Praise the Lord, if I sin, God might talk to me." Because even after Adam sinned, it says, they heard God's voice in the garden. They'd already ate the apple, but they heard God's voice. So God has been talking to man. He's wanting to get it across to man that just you being a man, living and breathing, or a woman, that I want to talk to you. I want to be able to be friends with you. I want to just talk to you and have a conversation with you. All the way through the book. Okay. And it talks about Elijah. God talked to Elijah. He said, God, and he knew where Elijah was. He was hiding in the cave. He said, "Elijah, what are you doing in there?" God's got it was first GPS system, you know. You know, you read through the book there, and here's a guy that was only mentioned one time in a Bible in the New Testament. And it said, and he was the one that went and laid hands on Paul after he was knocked off the donkey and was blinded. And you hear about this guy's life. I think his name was Cornelius. And he's walking down the road, and he says, Jesus appeared to me and said, come over and pray for you. And he goes over and lays hands on Paul. See, he knew where Paul was. Imagine this. Imagine if satellites are way up in the air. Okay? Where's God seated? Way up in the air. If a satellite beams down information over a great big area of the surface, or the surface of the earth, maybe God's sitting up there and he can look at half the earth at one time and the earth's turning, so the other half says his eyes run to and fro across the earth. He knows where you're at. He knows how to get somebody to come and talk to you, come and pray for you. The whole point of that is God's way more intelligent, way more intelligent than you. And if you're as old as I am, you've been trained most of your life to depend on your own beanie brain and depend on all the information that comes out of the boob tube or someplace else, you know, the new invented boob tube called a computer. So on, such and such and so on, you know, to get your information. I'm telling you, the same guy that invented everything is the same guy that's got the answer to everything you're going to go through every day, every moment of every day. Is that pretty simple? I'm just hammering the nail. I'm going at it from different directions, but what I started out with is the point. That's the point. You honoring God. And just ask him, what should I do about this situation that's confronting me? You have the answer. I don't have the answer. And just honor him and ask him. And when you ask him, he's going to answer you. Because Jesus guaranteed, if you look in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is doing a discourse on the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to leave here pretty soon, guys. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to send back this Holy Spirit so he can live in you. And what's he going to do? He's not even going to speak his own words, but the words that he speaks, he's going to get from the Father and the Son. And he's going to give you. He said never going to leave you nor forsake you. Imagine that. You can go out and commit the roughest and toughest and ugliest and dirtiest sin. But he says, he ain't going to leave you nor forsake you. When you just ask God for forgiveness, according to 1 John 1, 9, and then you qualify for more for him to give you the information you need about where to go to college. Should I date this person? Should I buy that car? Should I buy this house? Should I take that job? He's the only one who knows. You might take that job, and within 2 weeks, you're the most miserable creature that ever crawled on the earth. You might feel like you're luring a worm because of the way they treat you. And then they tell you they're going to pay you X amount of dollars, and they don't even pay you a third of that. But God would have known that ahead of time if you'd have just asked him. Should I take that job? Can you apply this? Can you see how you can apply this to everything? Every day of your life, as many times as you're tempted, as many times as you hear an invisible demonic being speaking to your brain in some way, shape, or form, usually in a thought form, to try to lead you off. Okay, now then, I'm going to read this a little bit more in depth, and I'm going to shut up. Somebody stole Don's clock off the wall back there. I can't tell what time it is. Don, you better watch these guys, man. I mean, somebody's 10 o'clock. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. And then here it goes. This is the reason I left this part out, because it takes your brain off in a different direction. I tried to stay on track, on target, on thought. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, let me ask you a question. They all started out believing in the same Jesus. They all started out knowing that, hey, we know that Jesus hung on the cross. If I wasn't there personally, these guys that were there and the other guys around him, they all know this was a fact. You know, then they all hear that 40 days Jesus walked on the face of the earth for 40 days. And then eventually he sends back this Holy Spirit to the people that were in the upper room. And John was there, the writer of these three books. He was there and he was one of the first ones to ever be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he says, why did the false prophets leave this bunch? They heard, what if? We're playing what if now. What if they were sitting right there in the midst of one of Pastor Don's anointed messages, and this invisible spirit being speaks into their mouth, it speaks into their brain, oh, no, that part of that message is wrong. I can't agree with that. That's not what my grandma Sally told me, and that's not what I heard in my cold refrigerator church that I went to before, you know. But anyway, I don't think Don was right on that point, so I think I'll just get up and boogie. I'll leave. He said, because they didn't know that they could simply ask God after they heard information from the Spirit of God by the apostles or from the book that they had at the time, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They didn't know the information that you were exposed to today. They didn't know how to check out those invisible spirit beings that were talking to them and saying, nah, that's not right. Go get in the car and hook it. And you can beat the Baptist crowd down to the, you know. Anyway, said, because there's many false prophets that have gone out into the land. Why? Is there a possibility they didn't know this stuff right here? I think so. And then, down here at the end of it, he goes, I didn't read part B of verse 3. It said, in every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is not of God. Part B of this would be, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Spirit of Antichrist is any spirit that's against Christ, period. Pretty simple deal. People, when they hear that, you know, if I'd have told you, if I'd have read that part then right in the beginning, your mind would have go like this, and it would have taken you off what the crux of the teaching. I was trying to get across to you. So then, I'm going to end this up. The guy in the back has probably been jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks, and doing, you know, and stuff like that. But like I say, somebody stole Don's clock, you know. Anyway, Don didn't really give me a time. But anyway, so what do you do? Let's get to the bottom line one more time. Let's just get through this. So you can go home and do something, whatever, you know. So I give Don a chance to come up here and talk to you so he don't feel too pressured up. What do you do when you hear a thought or this a little voice come into you that tries to give you information? What if it happens like that? What do? You speak back to that same voice and you say, okay, voice that, here's the rationale. You can pray it any way you want to, but this is the bottom. This is how something like it would go. Okay, spirit that told me to leave this church, you confessed to me you had the power to say, leave this church. Now then, you have the power to speak again if you spoke the first time. You confessed to me that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You gave me information. I want to know if that information came from the Spirit of God or if it came from the enemy. I bet you like this illustration, don't you, Don? So you ask it. The one that said, maybe he just said, I want you to leave this church. Okay, you ask it. Okay, spirit that said, leave this church. You confess to me, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And you wait for the answer. And the answer is either going to be nothing, Or he'll say back to you, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. If it was the Spirit of God. See, couldn't be too much more simple than that, right? The thing of it is, when you're standing in the throne before the throne of God, he's going to judge you on two things. He's going to say, what did you hear by the Spirit or out of this book? And then what did you do? So what I talked to you today about was hearing. That's the first thing. You've got to hear. And then when you get the direction out of the book or out by the Spirit, then you're obligated to do something. So it's hearing and doing. So I told you about the surefire way to hear. Now there's other ways. God, Don could teach you 44 other ways. This is not the only way. But I'm telling you, this way works. When you, after your mind's already in confusion because you've been trying to figure it out on your own or for whatever, your wife's been putting on pressure on you to leave and or for whatever reason, and your mind is befuddled, you can still use this and you'll still get the same answer. And believe me, if you act on, if it comes back and it is the Spirit of God, and you go contrary and choose to walk out of that direction, it'll ruin your life and the life of all those around you. You'll be paying hell from then on, or you'll feel like it in some cases. Okay, Don's got that microphone and he's itching to get up here, so I better shut up and get out of the way. He's liable to jump up here any second. We love you guys. Bless you.
Two quick stories help you with that. I get a call to go to somebody's house. I go there. The moment I knock on the door, the wife opens the door and she's screaming and I run in. And the young man had OD'd on drugs. Face was already blue. Lips already turned blue. No respiration. Eyes already set. And I heard this voice that says, just let him go. I recognized instantly it wasn't God. CPR would have been the worst thing I could have ever done. That's what I would train in and that's what I would normally do. But I picked this kid up, I turned him around, and I just began to do like the Heimlich maneuver. Wasn't anything that I'd been taught to do, but it was the Holy Spirit setting in. He had chest freeze. If I'd done CPR, he would have died. Doing a Heimlich, he lived. Listening to that voice, the other voice is a woman who was dead. Name was Marge Carl. And we were there, and Jerry O'Dell and his wife were there, and heard from God, this isn't the end. And watch God raise her from the dead. Not secondhand information. I was there. I saw it. The thing is learning to hear from God. And sometimes, you know, what we need to do is, listen, as he was talking, I thought about running out real quick and getting a radio and bringing it in here when he finishes. You can set that radio down, turn it on, and then start dialing through the stations. And you know what? You're going to hear all kinds of different stations in and out and in and out because the air is absolutely full of waves. Absolutely. We live in a parallel universe of reality of where we are, but there's this parallel universe of Christianity that we live in, that we've been bought out of this, and we're living in this that runs parallel with this world. And the thing is there's voices, and every voice has significance, is what the Scripture tells us. And some are not of God, and some are of God. And it's just learning to filter in on that thing and beginning to step out in hearing Him. Listen, God talks to every one of us. Well, He doesn't talk to me. Yeah, He does. It's taking time to stop to listen and that kind of thing. Listen, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, this is what the psalm says. He said, His ear is turned towards the righteous. I'm not righteous because of me. I'm righteous because of what Christ did into me. and made me righteous because he gave me his righteousness. His imputed righteousness has come to dwell in my life because of his presence is there. Therefore, when I speak and I pray, he says, my ear is turned towards you to hear. Well, that tells me that if I'm saved and I speak, he hears. And listen, God isn't a one-way relationship, us to him. He is duplistic in that. He wants to speak to us. Well, I pray and I never hear him. Well, most of the time we do Christmas prayers. God, I need this and this and this and this and this and this. And then when we get up to go, God's going like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I got something to say here and we're out the door. Now, I do want you to pray for wisdom. I got one little quick story before we cat out of here. I want you to pray for wisdom that he truly hears God's voice when our team is on the island. Because when we were on the island, you know, our whole team said, oh, we want to send Don and Carol off to Dog Island for the day. Just let them enjoy themselves. So we did. And we were there, wonderful. And one of them storms he talked about came in. We're stuck on an island. There is one hut with this family that's there, and Carol thinks they're cannibals. She is hiding in the corner with her back up against the wall, and she goes, what are they doing out there? I said, they got this great big pot, and they're cooking carrots. I don't know. You know, and our team stands on the – Alan gets our team, and they stand there, and they're looking out there, and you cannot see the islands, okay? It's Storm City, and they're going, gee, our pastor's out there. And we're, you know, we finally have to get in a boat to come back. And we're going through one of those storms that he's talking about. The boat's just going and we're going and going. And I mean, it's raining. We're with another family from Colombia. Our people are praying, God, deliver them. I guess, I hope. I don't know. We're out there. You know, Carol thinks we're going to drown. You know, I'm a surfer. It was like, oh, yeah, this is no problem. No problem. But you're out there. You can't see anything. You're freezing everything. And your first thought is, yeah, we love you, Pastor. Go on out. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. We hope you make it back. But we want God to hear when we do that, okay? Hey, today as we just come to the end, very, very, very good word. Listen, God loves us. And when he created man, God in some way decided that he would reveal himself to us in the characters of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they sat back at creation and said, you know, we're perfectly content at who we are. Because there's perfect love, perfect honor, perfect relationship, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect happiness behind them. They didn't have to create man because they needed fellowship. No, they're doing just fine. But they said, let us create man so we can open ourselves up and invite men into who we are. Joy, love, peace. And if that's true, which it is true, a God that would open himself up and invite us into it, it would be absolute asinine to think that he doesn't speak to us. Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He also says this, I am the word of life. And he wants to speak life into every one of us to the point where we come. And there are voices out there speaking to us that go contrary to what he has. Because Jesus came to show us a better way to live. Today, Alan comes with one of those better way to live, to diagnose voices that are coming at us. And all of us have it, don't we? You know, I mean, every one of us have it. Kevin just took a job in another city, and he's making the drive every weekend. But the whole thing of going through, hearing a voice come, do I go? Do I take the job? And the job is yes. And of course, it's close enough that he can be back with us every weekend, which we really appreciate because God has done a miracle in this guy's life and listening. But he's not the only one that God has spoke to. God spoke to Jimmy and Joan about moving here and hooking up with us. God talked to you when I would just come to visit and I'm visiting with him for months before he even knows I'm a pastor. And then he's shocked and doesn't want to even believe that I'm a pastor. But God began to speak into his heart. CJ's driving down the road and just sees a sign, and God starts speaking to his heart. Listen, and understanding those kind of things, does he kind of speak to... Will the devil speak to you like the example you use that people, oh, leave that church because of this? Yeah, I remember someone that did that. They got really mad over one little thing and didn't come for months, and it was so incredible. She calls me back. She says, while taking a shower today, God just went, what are you doing? And it just stopped her dead in her tracks. What are you doing? And did I tell you to leave? What, all this kind of little stuff? And I remember when she came back and I went, you know, kind of hearty har because of this. Not because she came back, but because of this. Now you know what the voice of God sounds like. And now you will always know what the voice of God sounds. So as we just adventure into this and stepping out more, learning faith, learning to hear him, guess what? We will begin to tune in more and more to G-O-D-F-M, God F-M, where he speaks as we begin to filter in. Amen? May your ears be open to his word. May when he speaks, whether it be in a whisper or a loud, thunderous voice, that you hear and that you recognize. And more importantly, that you hear and recognize, but may you have the faith, the strength, the determination, and the will to begin to place your feet in the prints of his feet as we follow him. May you follow our Rabbi Jesus so close that the dust that he stirs up in front of you lights upon your clothes. May we worship him and follow him in all our ways, for he is the word of life. One more song.